nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello, good evening to you listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba this evening, and this is Radio Miraya program. And today we are going to be talking about the World Food Day. South Sudan joins the rest of the world today in celebrating the World Food Day 2023 under the international theme, Water is Life, Water is Food, Leave No One Behind. The theme aims to highlight the critical role of water for life on Earth, and water as the foundation of our food. World Food Day 2023 also aims to increase awareness on the significance of the issue and encourage action to guarantee that everyone have access to nutrition diet, in addition to ensuring food security and safety. And the World Food Day also emphasizes the issue of fighting hunger in the country. And right now I am joined on the line from Juba here by two of my guests from the World Food Program, and they have been working very hard to assist more than two-thirds of the population who are in need of humanitarian assistance in the country. Mr. Bernard Owadi is the World Food Program Head of Program, and he joins me right now. Good evening, Bernard, and thank you so much for joining us on Radio Mirror this evening.
Good evening, Sunny. Pleasure talking to you.
And I'm also joined by Ms. Ochal Chand, who is the World Food Program Head of Nutrition. Good evening. Welcome to Radio Miraya.
Good evening, Sunny, and to all your listeners. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. And right away, let's begin with Mr. Bernard. What is the importance of this day to a country like South Sudan, where over 9 million people are in need of humanitarian assistance?
Thanks, Sunny, and to the listeners. As you have indicated, today is a special day, a day of reflection, a day that as South Sudan, as a country, we need to think of how we can feed ourselves. You remember, or probably you know, over 90% of South Sudan is arable. South Sudan has the potential of feeding itself. But despite that, we still continue to see enormous food insecurity challenges in the country. This is a day that we would tell the listeners to embrace agriculture and start growing crops for their own consumption. As I said, South Sudan potentially can feed even East Africa. This is a day that we need to reflect on some of the activities and the collaborations that we can forge in order to get the South Sudan to be able to produce their own food and consume it. As WP, we have been working in South Sudan. We continue working with the government. We work on a number of program activities. Some of them are aimed at providing short-term support to people to feed them, not to go hungry. But equally, some of them are geared towards building the resilience of the population in South Sudan. And so these are some of the activities, and equally working with partners as well as the primarily the government, we need to reflect on how to take South Sudan forward and enhance their food security.
Right. Yes, Ochal, you are the head of World Food Program Nutrition. First of all, there is this theme of water is life, water is food, leave no one behind. This is an international theme. What about a local one, or is there any local theme for this year celebration in South Sudan, or you are going with the international theme?
Thank you, Sunny. We are going with the international theme because the international theme is set to highlight the critical role that water plays. And as you rightfully said in your introduction, water is essential to life on Earth. I think our listeners may be aware that water covers, you know, a majority of the Earth's surface. Over 70% of the Earth's surface is made up of water. As human beings, 50% of our bodies are also made up of water. But what is more known and visible to us is the role of water in producing our food, in supporting our livelihoods. In South Sudan, we use water both in agriculture, but also we have the aquatic food system where we are using fish from the Nile and other sources of water. So it's in South Sudan, we are facing right now quite a unique combination of parts of the country that are in drought, but also parts of the country that are flooded. And in both of these situations, crops and livelihoods are being impacted and they're being destroyed. So as a global theme, this theme is also very relevant to us here in South Sudan. And as Bernard touched upon earlier, we are seeing that there is an impact on the planet's water resources. Globally, we see a rapid population growth, there is urbanization, but also something that's very personal to us here in South Sudan is the climate crisis and its impact that we are seeing on the communities in South Sudan. So as the World Food Programme, we work with these communities to mitigate the impact of climate extremes. For example, if we take water as the theme, we build shallow wells in areas that have drought so communities can access water. But in areas that are flooded, we also work with communities and the government to make sure that dikes are put in place so that floodwaters don't destroy households or agricultural land. Thank you.
Right, and as we celebrate this day today, and like I said in my introduction, we know very well that at least 9.4 million people in the country, that is more than two-thirds of the population, are in need of humanitarian situation. The question we are asking is, how serious is the issue of food security in South Sudan, Bernard?
Thanks so much, Sunny, and once again to the listeners. South Sudan is facing serious food insecurity challenges. When we talk of humanitarian needs, it's food security plus also other needs, so we are talking of 9.4. But beyond that, according to the latest food insecurity classification, some almost 7.8 million people are food insecure, facing crises or worse effects of hunger, and therefore require urgent humanitarian support. I would say that this, in terms of just the depth, this is the highest number globally. We're basically talking of more than 60% of the population being in their need of humanitarian support due to their vulnerability to food insecurity. And so as we reflect on that, a number of issues come to mind. We know that the challenges are there because I would start by the climatic shocks. We know South Sudan is prone to both drought and flooding. As we talk, there is a significant proportion of the country that is still flooded and has been flooded for the last 4 years. But we equally know the recurrent conflicts that continue to impact on the populations of this country. There has been frequent flare-ups, frequent conflicts, some are ethnic, and that affects populations, leads to population displacement, but equally just impacts on their ability to undertake any significant support. In addition, the difficult economic environment, the rising prices, all that goes just to worsen the situation. I would say yes, it is a serious situation. We have IDPs in camps, we have refugees in camps that as of now largely depends on humanitarian support for their survival, and therefore working collectively to have a position and support the population, primarily what will take South Sudan out of this issue, as I said before, is targeted support to build their livelihoods, to get them stand on their own and to start producing. But in the meantime, before that is done, it's also those significant needs need to be addressed and contained to avert further crises, famine, and even deaths.
And
thanks once again, Sunny.
All right. You earlier on said, life is water is very important. Even more than 50% of our body is made out of water. Could you highlight some of the critical role of water for life and the foundation of our food health per this year's theme?
Certainly. So in terms of the role that water plays in our body, water is really critical for hydration. It's critical for the production of certain elements in our body, like, certain hormones, etc. Water is needed to flush out toxins from our body. So that's at an individual level. That's why you may hear people saying it's important to remain hydrated, it's important to drink at least 2 liters of water a day. That's so that we can have an internal system that is working and it's functional. But in terms of, in line with the role of this year and on what role water plays, water is critical for the production of our food. So water is used in irrigating land, in ensuring that plants and livestock have enough water that is needed so that they are able to thrive. Water is also, the management of water is also critical. So when we talk about the management of aquatic food systems like rivers, and the ocean, it's also really critical because a large part of the global population also accesses their food from aquatic food systems. So that's also really critical. We also see, in terms of the role of water, the lack of water if you are having a situation where there is rapid urbanization and populations move from rural areas to urban areas. The availability of clean water is really critical. Otherwise, we may see the spread of waterborne diseases in situations where water has negatively impacted people. So in the event of a flood, again, it has the ability to destroy lives and livelihoods and spread disease. And so that needs to be managed as well. So it impacts almost everything. That's why we say that water plays a critical role in life and that it forms the foundation of our food and our food systems, because it impacts from the human body all the way down the chain to the different food systems and the different livelihoods that we have. Over.
All right, and still with you, Ochala, we heard from Bernard, he said at least 7.4 million people are food insecure at the moment, and according to UNHCR, more returnees are coming back to South Sudan from Sudan due to the ongoing conflict in Sudan, and that is putting more pressure on the meager resources the government and the partners are already having. In terms of to talk about the issue of malnutrition among the people who are in need of assistance, how serious is the issue of malnutrition as you work together with your partners in solving this issue of malnutrition in the country? Is it a serious issue?
Sunny, malnutrition is a very serious issue in South Sudan. As I speak to you, there are 1.4 million children under the age of 5 who are facing acute malnutrition. And acute malnutrition is when a child does not have enough food to eat, which leads to rapid weight loss. And then if this is not addressed, then can also lead to morbidities and mortalities. We also have almost 700,000 women who are either pregnant or breastfeeding that are also malnourished. So malnutrition is a very serious issue in this country. The causes of malnutrition are multiple, including the climate and the impact of climate change, but also food availability, food access, knowledge, and food security. All of these things impact malnutrition. Beliefs and practices, childcare, all of these factors also have an impact on the levels of malnutrition. What we've seen over the years also, Bernard had referenced the fact that we undertake comprehensive food security and nutrition surveys across the country, and then we classify different parts of the country in terms of severity. And what we have seen is a general deterioration in the situation. At least I can talk about the data that we have from 2022 and 2023. The 2023 data is being finalized. But what we are seeing is a general deterioration in the situation, with more people falling into malnutrition. So rightfully, as you've mentioned, the resources are quite constrained. We are very grateful to the number of donors who continue to provide resources, but you as well as our listeners would be well aware of the fact that resources are stretched. There are multiple global crises going on, whether they are man-made crises like wars or natural disasters like the recent earthquake in Afghanistan, etc. So the resources are stretched very thin. So what the World Food Programme is trying to do is, in addition to providing support to communities and families in South Sudan through our general food assistance, our nutrition, school feeding work, we are also trying to make sure that we empower communities with the right knowledge and practices so that they can make small changes. Specifically for nutrition, we talk to mothers about ways in which they can improve the diets of their children, the small-scale kitchen gardens that they can make that can then contribute to a healthy diet. So in addition to the efforts that we are making in providing humanitarian assistance, in parallel as an organization, we are also making very strong efforts to ensure that we are building knowledge, building capacities. We also have activities where we empower small smallholder farmers with support to linking them to markets so that we can make some foundational changes and ensure that the changes are having an impact into the future and that they are sustainable.
Okay, just before we hear from Bernard, and our lines will be open to our listeners to call in, what are your major fears as the head of nutrition at WFP if the little resources you have right now runs out and you don't get the pledges that have been made so far by the donors? What are your major worries for these 1.4 million children under age who are malnourished, plus the 700,000 women who are also malnourished?
I think that's a good question, and that's a question that we grapple with here on a regular basis. We are, as I said, quite grateful because we do have some donors that have remained committed to us over several years. But with the dwindling resources, we would undertake the process of prioritization. We need to look at where our resources are going to have the maximum impact, where the situation is more grave. So in some parts of the country, there is potential that we can work with the government, hand over some facilities to the government, provide some capacity building. We also work very closely with our sister agency, UNICEF, in nutrition across the whole country. So through that partnership, we are able to reach as many people as possible. But in the event that we do not get all of the resources that we need, we will have to undertake a prioritization exercise. And we would have to decide between everyone who's malnourished on who is more malnourished and needs the assistance the most. Because malnutrition, of course, is on a gradient. The 1.4 million children that I mentioned that are malnourished, we have children that are severely malnourished, children that are moderately malnourished, children that are at high risk of malnutrition. And so we need to, we would
Okay, we seem to be having a problem with our line there. If you have just joined us right now, you are listening to Nationwide. My name is Annie Martin, and we have our guest on the line here, Bernard Owadi, who is the World Food Program Head of Program here in Juba, and also Ms. Ochal Chand, WFP Head of Nutrition. Bernard, if you can hear me, we have, like you already alluded to, the fact that there is a kind of crisis around the world, and there is already a donor fatigue, and the current one we are seeing is in Palestine plus the Israel conflict. So how is WFP coping up with this assistance given the international fatigue or the donor fatigue right now? And you need a lot of money. The last time Filippo Grandi was here in Juba 2 months ago, he said at least South Sudan requires over $350 million right now to support the refugees who are fleeing the conflict in Sudan. So how are you coping up with these financial difficulties given the global crisis?
Thanks so much, Sunny. I mean, I lost you for quite a while, but I hope you are asking how we are coping up with the issue of resource constraints.
Yes, correct.
Thanks so much for that. Sunny, I think as Achal had said, we remain quite grateful for the donors that have come on board to provide us with resources that we've so far used to support the vulnerable population in South Sudan. That said, we all agree with the competing needs for resources with the challenges in other parts of the world, we will not be able to get enough resources. And for that, we are currently working on our operational plan. But it's also, I would want to point out that this is something that had started even this year, where we had reflected on that. And what it has necessitated is for us to make some rather, I would say, painful decisions that lead to increased prioritization. We do recognize that if you look at the landscape in South Sudan, almost every part of the country has a significant numbers of food insecure population. However, we do recognize that we cannot reach all of them. So we've gone through prioritization, only supporting the extremely vulnerable. If I use the terms that we use in food security, using the food security phase classification, in some cases we just just to support those in emergency and those that are almost bordering what I call phase five, those that are bordering catastrophe, and so that has started, and is something that we will be continuing with. Beyond that, we have a requirement per person per day, that is food requirements per person per day. We've not been able to meet those requirements, and instead, we've only been supporting 50 to 70% of those requirements. We've also, in some cases, been forced to reduce the length of support to the vulnerable, even in locations that we know that the needs require, ideally, if resources are there, require us to support them throughout the year. And so we also therefore working on a number of measures to bring cost efficiency to our operations, and equally, we've gone through a number of sensitization missions with the communities, with the government, to understand the challenges that we are encountering with the resources. And so for communities also to be aware, WFP, as most humanitarian agencies, do depend on generous donations from donors. And when that is constrained, we are also constrained to reach more people. And that therefore leads to such measures that I've mentioned, which we will continue to work on. As I said, we are developing our operational plan for 2024. But within that, we are already reflecting on the level of prioritization, the level cost-cutting measures that we can have in place.
Okay.
Back to you, Sunny.
Okay, thank you so much. And our lines are now open. You can call or you can send us your question to our SMS number 0912177141. That's our number for you to send your question to that SMS number. Or you can call us on 0929686297. My name is Sunny Martin, and in the studio here, I have two guests who are on the line, and we are discussing more about the World Food Day that is celebrated every year on the 16th of October. And this year's theme is Water is Life, Water is Food, Leave No One Behind. And I have Bernard Owadi, WFP Head of Program, and Charles Chand, WFP Head of Nutrition. And we have already a couple of questions coming in here. And the first question is coming from Mark Tap Dew, and he says it's going to Bernard. Mark from Bentiu is asking, he has two questions. He says, first of all, what plan is WFP having for the people of United States who have been displaced by flood for the last 3 or 4 years? And he also says, number two, is that WFP have cut off the food ratio since July this year. He wants to know why. Did you decide as a WFP to reduce the food ratio for the people of Unity State? That's from Mark Tap Dew in Bentiu. It's going to Bernard. Another question is coming from Opio. Opio is writing from Torit in Eastern Equatorial State, and he says, my question also goes to WFP, Head of Program. Eastern Equatorial, some places in Eastern Equatorial State have experienced drought, and many people have fled the area to Kakuma, and others have come to Torit here and on to Juba. And WFP have decided to close down their offices in Eastern Equatorial, knowing very well that people are in need of food. What happened? Don't you care about the life of people who are in need of food right now? That's from Opio. Another question is coming from Stella in Juba here, Rock City. And it says, my question is going to Achal. It says, Madam Achal, I never heard your explanation well. What advice, what kind of food value can these 700,000 women and 1.4 million children who are under 5 years and are malnourished, what kind of food can they be eating to at least prevent being malnourished? And how did you arrive at this figure of 1.4 million children? Is this figure not over-exaggerated? And her second part of the question is, what are some of the states that are heavily affected with this malnutrition? Yes, let's begin with Bernard. Two questions from Opio and Mark Tapdew in Bentiu.
Thanks so much, Sunny, and thanks so much to those that have asked those great questions. Let me start with Mark on the Bentiu issue, and it's just reflecting on what I'd said before. Mark, we fully appreciate and we acknowledge the tremendous challenges and the plight of people in Bentiu. But equally, just allow me to put into perspective. Over the year from last year, we've been facing resource challenges that led to, I just described before, some hard decisions. And some of those hard decisions meant that we couldn't be able to support the whole year round. And so specifically for Bentiu, the lean season response based on the prioritization and the resources that we had was earmarked for support from January to the month of August. And indeed, WFP provided that support up to the month of August. Mark, there was also, due to some delays in the system, we had to extend through to September. And we acknowledge the support of, ended in September, August, September, let me put it that way, August, September, primarily as a result of the prioritization that we had to do resulting from the funding challenges. But that said, we fully acknowledge and understand that Bentiu for the last 4 years has been under flooding, and therefore there was not so much meaningful cultivation in Bentiu. We do acknowledge that the problem, the challenges in Bentiu still remain there. We've been, over the last few weeks, we've been working into reorganizing, reanalyzing, and evaluating the resources that we have. I think what I would say, any support that we give to, say, extend Bentiu would be, more or less like, withdrawing from supporting Peter in order to support John, and this is primarily what we are doing. So we've looked at the resources that we have, and the recent food security assessments indicate that the situation remained there. And because of that, we are bringing forward the lean season for 2024. To start our support in Bentiu early enough. So hopefully we should be able to resume support either by end of this month or early next month, recognizing that, yes, the situation in Bentiu is getting worse by virtue that they did not have any harvest this season. So I think I've answered Mark. We've reflected on that, and we are bringing forward our lean season for next year, actually even starting to use the resources for next year to support Bentiu. The second question came from Opio.
Yes, in Torit.
Yes, and Opio is asking that the situation in Torit, there are people that are still displaced by drought, and therefore they need support, but WP is closing the office. Just to appear for your information, one, we are closing the office because we are because of the dwindling resources, so we are reflecting on the costs. and more or less tapping on cost efficiencies that can come around. And of course, I also did mention that we are reducing, even in some cases, prioritizing our support. That said, support in Eastern Equatoria will still remain for activities that have resources and will continue to be supported. We are closing the office in Taurit, but we are not closing an office in Eastern Equatoria. I want to make this clear. We still have an office in Eastern Equatoria in Kapoeta, and that office in Eastern Equatoria will still be able to support in terms of program activities in Taurit. So it will still remain an office supporting the whole of Eastern Equatoria. So to answer your question, the support or our program activities is not going to stop as a result of closure of the office. And at the same time, there will still be an office in Eastern Equatoria. Currently, we had two offices in Taurit and Kapoeta, but due to cost considerations, we will only remain with one office. And I think we all appreciate Kapoeta is more affected by a drought, and therefore it makes better sense to have the office there. But we can assure the populations in Taurit that the support will still continue.
All right.
Back to you, Sandy.
Thank you so much, Bernard. Yes, Charles, there was a question from Stella in two parts. First of all, she's seeking your advice as an expert to women, to these over 700,000 women who are malnourished plus 1.4. What can they do? What kind of diet do they need? That's one. And two, how did you arrive at this figure? And what are the most affected states in the country?
Thank you, Sunny. And thank you, Stella, for those excellent questions. So the figures that I have quoted, which is that in 2023, we expect 1.4 million children under the age of 5 to be malnourished. Now, if you are malnourished, it is really important that you go to a nutrition center so that you can be provided with specialized nutritious foods that both WFP and UNICEF provide free of charge through all nutrition centers in the country. There you will be assessed both if you are if you have a child under 5 or if you're a pregnant and breastfeeding mother. We have community workers who come into the community and screen women and children. If you are familiar with nutrition, you will find that sometimes community workers come with a colored band to measure kids and women's upper arms. This helps us determine if somebody is malnourished or not. If they are malnourished, they are referred to a nutrition center where specialized food and advice is provided on how can you treat malnutrition. So if you are malnourished, then you need specialized food. However, to prevent malnutrition, it is really critical that households and families are having a balanced diet, a diet that has enough calories, and it is composed of the right amounts of proteins, which come from foods like meat and fish and eggs, foods that are rich in carbohydrates, which here can be either wheat or rice or sorghum, and then a good portion of vegetables and fruits. So a healthy and balanced diet is really critical. One of the very interesting things that we have seen in South Sudan, and specifically in Taurit, so the previous question came from someone from Taurit, is that communities also have their own mechanisms of coming up with nutrient-dense foods. So in Torit, we've seen mothers come up with a combination of food that mixes peanuts and dates with oil and makes it into and with oats and makes it into a porridge to feed their children. And the mothers told us, oh, we give this to our children so they don't become sick. So there are also some good local solutions that are available as well. There are local recipes that are high in nutrient content. And as an organization, the World Food Program, together with the Ministry of Health and UNICEF, is working to collect some of these recipes. And every opportunity that we have, whether at a nutrition site level or at the community level, we share these messages with caretakers of children and households in general on how they can improve their diets. On your question about how do we arrive at the figure of 1.4 million children and the over 700,000 pregnant and breastfeeding mothers that are malnourished. So annually, WFP, FAO and other organizations with support from the government undertake comprehensive food security and nutrition surveys across the country. We also look at specific nutrition surveys. These are known as SMART surveys. And we look at data from our nutrition centers to see how many people are reporting to the nutrition center with malnutrition. So all of these pieces of information are then analyzed, and we come up with a an estimation of the number of women and children that we do expect will suffer from acute malnutrition. This estimation is made from surveys that are scientifically very solid, so it is not an over-exaggeration. Unfortunately, we do not, and I think this has been the thread of the conversation throughout today, we do not have enough resources to be able to help all of the 1.4 million children and the over 700,000 pregnant and breastfeeding mothers because of funding constraints, etc. So while there are a large number of people that need our assistance, we are prioritizing also within these groups. Which leads me to the next question that you have asked, which is, which of the states are the most heavily affected? So from our surveys, from our programmatic data, from our monitoring data, what we are seeing is that the Greater Upper Niles, so Jonglei State, the state of Upper Nile, as well as Unity State, have some of the highest levels of acute malnutrition in the country. Then there are parts of Northern Bahari Ghazal and Warrap states that also have very high levels of malnutrition. We also find a correlation between states that have had a climactic event. So, for example, in Unity State, we know floods have significantly affected Unity State and parts of Jonglei. We also find that in parts of the country where there have been some conflict and populations are displaced, that also impacts their ability to have a healthy diet. And so in those locations as well, we are finding that the levels of malnutrition are higher.
Okay.
And then we also see parts of Eastern Equatoria. Sorry, Sunny, just to conclude, we see parts of Eastern Equatoria where drought has also had an impact on household level food security and affected the number of people that are malnourished. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I would like to thank Bernard Owondi, WFP Head of Program, and Achal Chand, WFP Head of Nutrition, for your time this evening. Thank you very much for making your time during a busy day. I know you have been very busy today. You were here in the morning. Your team was here and also talking to us this evening. Thank you both for talking to us this evening.
Thank you, Sunny, and the listeners.
Thank you so much, Sunny.
Okay.
Great to talk to you, Baba.
And with that, we have come to the end of our discussion for today. The news is coming next in English. Join my colleague David Lucan for the second hour of Nationwide. My name is Annie Martin. Stay tuned.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.